Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Hey everyone, this is Tom LeCompte.
And I'm Gavin Durson, and welcome back to the Keep It Simple podcast.
All right, so Gavin, by now we've had some folks that maybe have gone along with our little experiment and have experimented with house church, or maybe they're sincerely trying it. What do you think are some pitfalls or troubles that they might run into, or how would you warn them against some pitfalls that they might fall into?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's a good topic for our discussion today. I don't know that we would be able to get to all potential pitfalls, but I think today, you know, Tom, what would be a great opportunity for this podcast to sort of take a time out a bit, you know, if people have been following us, you know, hopefully by now you've discussed this with your wife, you've begin thinking about house church, you hopefully have even identified another couple, perhaps you've had a gathering at your house with some friends, you had communion together, and you've began just thinking and experiencing what house church could look like, and maybe you've even began life transformation groups or something to that nature to sort of help folks in your community go deep in the Word. And you know, inductive Bible studies. These are all the things the last several weeks we've been talking about. And I think your question, Tom, is important. Let's take a time out today and let's go over, just to kind of take a breath and go over what could potentially be some blind spots that people could be encountering if you have been with us up to this point. And, you know, for me, I think one of those blind spots as can often be as people get started with house church is that they're so excited about the community that's forming, they're so excited about their friends coming together in their home, they're excited about the intimacy that's starting to happen, where rather than just being a face in the crowd, now they're really developing deep friendships. Mm-hmm. And the blind spot or the pitfall, if you will, can sometimes be that we quickly start to forget about the lost folks that we're connected with via our jobs or our neighborhoods. We immediately can start to develop habits of becoming a inward focused group, and this is a really big pitfall to all house churches that I've worked with, that you become inward focused, and
right.
It's never too early to prepare not to be inward, if that makes sense. And you know, every week that goes by that you're not outward focused is another week that makes it harder to become outward focused at some point down the road.
This is one of the criticisms of organic church, microchurch, house church, is from people on the outside looking in. That's one of the first things they say or warn against is, man, you guys are just sitting in your huddle. You don't interact with the world. You're just having fun worshiping God among yourselves, and you don't want to have anything to do with anyone else. So yes, that is a very, very real danger, and it's one that we're supposed to avoid. I mean, we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world, and yet our tendency is to avoid the world.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do in a house church.
It is. And, you know, my heartbeat and the reason I do this podcast, the reason I'm doing Simple Church, is that I long to see a church planting movement happen in our country. And that might even be a nice little micro podcast that we could throw out about just explaining exactly what a church planting movement is. But essentially, it's churches rapidly multiplying and the spread of the church in a very viral type way. And for that to happen, everything we do from day one, we must start to do it with this mindset of reproduction in mind.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't mean that, you know, I think that there can be debate about, well, you know, if you read some house church or Simple Church things, they're going to say, well, every 6 months you should be be a part of a new house church. And some people say, oh, no, you should wait. You know, that's crazy. You should wait 3 or 4 years, and that's still, you know, that's not too long to be in one single house church. And I don't really think any of those things, I don't think there's a formula for that.
No.
In fact, I know one guy who's part, you know, Neil Cole, who we've had at our conference and things. He shared, he's kind of been a part of the same house church for many, many, many years, but they've still been able to start hundreds of other house churches and by sending people out for short periods of time to begin new groups. But the big picture is that we must always be mindful of those that are not in our house church. And what is our plan? How are we, is everything, are we from day one, do we have a vision for how what we're doing and what we're enjoying is going to be multiplied and going to be reproduced? How are we going to do that? And what is that going to look like? As a leader of a house church, are you able to articulate that vision to the people that are there? Is that mm-hmm. something that's brought up regularly? You know, I guess one little, you know, encouragement would be every week find a way to make sure to remind people that the reason we're here is to experience Christ, to be His family, but it is also to start new communities like this. And at the very least, bring that up weekly, pray about it. Because what can happen is as habits start to form and what was uncomfortable yesterday, I've said this many times, becomes comfortable today. And people start enjoying the fellowship. They enjoy the camaraderie. They enjoy all these things. And if they're not reminded of why they're there, that the reason we're simplifying church is so that more people can start churches like this, including you, then it can become hard, you know, all of a sudden 2 years later to say, you know what, we ought to start another house church. If you bring it up 2 years after, then people, you know, at that point it's probably too late. So how can we keep the focus outward? And you might be saying, well, gosh, like, I just started this house church and a couple of the people that are coming are new Christians and this is really good for them. That's fine. It's never too early to be thinking outward. In fact, if you have some new believers there, now is the time to be thinking outward because they probably have all their friends are non-believers and they're in the prime spot to potentially even start a new church, see new churches born right there amongst their lost friends. You know, something we've talked about is that the resources are often in the harvest field. So
yeah.
We can immediately get into this trap of getting in a come mentality, getting people to come to our house church, come to our meeting, come to our weekly fellowship. And we want to really encourage people to avoid that.
Yeah. It's like you said, I mean, people naturally are resistant to change. And when you start talking about, well, we're going to change the culture of this group by either multiplying, by dividing this group into two, and now we have two groups that are going to continue to grow. Well, if you do that, you've just changed the culture. Maybe you're talking about separating friends, or you're taking your son's playmate away from him, or
yeah.
something like that. It's going to be hard no matter what you do.
It is hard. And, you know, but I can just say from experience, we've left house churches on several occasions now to be a part of starting new ones. And that some of those have been a little challenging because my kids have had friends with other families. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, we love going there every Sunday. We see our friends. But it's an opportunity. That even in itself is an opportunity to explain to your children why we're doing what we're doing. And if you're not clear about that, then the people that are coming and are a part of your fellowship probably won't be clear about it either. But that it's, you know, you can explain to your children, look, the reason we do house church is because we want to see the maximum number of people possible become His disciples. And you can use it as a lesson to teach kids, like, we're still going to be friends with them. They can come over for play dates, but we're going to go because Jesus doesn't call us just to enjoy hanging out with those people only that are like us and that we become friends with. But mm-hmm. He calls us to go to make new disciples, and sometimes that means we have to mix up our routines a little bit. And it can be a great object lesson to kids, but it's very challenging, it's very hard. And I want to just sort of give you guys a couple of exercises that might help keep this at the forefront of your all's minds. And So these are, I'm going to give you a couple of homework assignments, I guess you could say, or challenges that you might take and over the next few weeks try to actually implement with those that you're in fellowship with. And one of them is one that, you know, we encourage people to do is to make a list for everyone in your house, church, or fellowship, to make a list and see if you can do it. Do it on a Sunday or whenever it is you have house church. Just say, hey, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray and ask God to speak to us and give us a list of 100 people. I mean, you could do this so that everyone does it. Do it when you're together. But make a list of 100 people. Ask the Lord, who are the people that I know who desperately need you or need to be connected to your body? And just ask the Lord to put those names and faces in your mind and heart. And as they come to you, write them down. See if you can come up with a list of 100 people. And if everyone in your fellowship, even if it's just three or four of you at this point, could come up with a list of 100 people that the Lord speaks to you about, then you can begin praying over those names and asking God, Lord, what would it look like for me to reach out to these people in the coming weeks? And listen to what the Lord says to you about that. If he leads you to call them or go visit them or take them out to coffee or invite them to be a part of a life transformation group or whatever, obey him and do that. So it's the list of 100. That challenge is kind of a big one. You might be surprised. You might think, gosh, I don't even know if I know 100 people. But if you approach the Lord about it in prayer, you might be surprised at some of the names that show up on that list. And they may be some people that might be very challenging for you to think about reaching out to. And when that happens, that's actually probably a good indication it's the exact people that the Lord wants us to reach out to. It's usually not the easy ones. It's not the person that requires the least amount of sacrifice on our part. Yeah. But oftentimes it does require sacrifice then to begin prayerfully asking the Lord about how you might be an influence in these folks' lives and potentially someone that you might welcome into your community.
This sounds simple, but you know, if you've grown up in the church, if you've been a Christian for any number of years, You may look at your environment and you think, you know what? I spent all my free time in church. I spent all my time with other believers. I don't know that many unbelievers. I don't hang around with unbelievers. And, you know, that might be a good thing, but it's also not good. I mean, you know, how do we reach people if we don't interact with them? So you gotta have to take a little bit of a risk and go out and interact with unbelievers. You don't have to go out there and do the things they're doing, but get to know them. Invite them over.
And some of these folks,
spend some time with them.
It might be a deal where you don't even know, you know, you don't have to be certain. I mean, none of us can ever be 100% certain who is and isn't a believer. So don't not write someone's name down because you think, oh, well, that person's a Christian, they go to church. No, I mean, it could very well be that maybe they're not, or maybe they don't go to church anymore. You know, you just don't ever know. So, you know, ask the Lord to speak to you and then just be faithful to jot them down and begin praying over those names and just have the faith to believe that if you ask the Lord, like, Lord, who is it that you want to use me to reach, that he will answer that prayer. He will speak to you and he will show you that I think he wants to show us that. He wants to show us who those people are. And you might come up with even more than 100, but that's a good starting spot, because then you're asking the Lord to, from within you, Lord, like, who is it that I'm doing all this for, you know, and give him the opportunity to speak into that, and don't just necessarily go with what you think or who you think might be the person you ought to call or reach out to as you're going down this road. But it helps us to stay outward focused when we do that.
Yeah. Other things you can do, you can take a mission trip together as a group. We've done that a few times. You know, it's almost, I won't say it's easy, but it's a lot easier than it used to be to go out and do a mission trip, whether it's overseas or just downtown, or, you know, come up with some kind of project and, you know, plan it out. But, you know, it's very easy for a small group now to do a mission trip.
Yeah. And then one that I think is a really, really good exercise, and again, this can be something that people can show up at your normal, you know, time to for simple church and just say, hey, we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to eat and then we're going to head out. But go out on a prayer walk.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that we did a while back. We've been praying about a new simple church starting around this skate community on a certain side of town in Lexington here. We did a prayer walk one day, and we ended up getting to share the gospel with some folks, and had a mother and daughter that it was just God set up divine appointments. But but what a prayer walk is that is when you all just head out and ask the Lord, Lord, like, give us your eyes. Give us eyes to see what it is that you're doing. And sometimes you may encounter folks that you end up talking with, and that leads to conversation that may say, what are y'all doing out here? We're doing this little exercise. We're praying for our neighborhood. And who knows where that might lead? That might lead to you finding people right around your neighborhood that would be interested in what you're doing. And you may not talk to anyone, but the point of the prayer walk is, again, it's to commune with God, but it's to do it in an interactive way where you're actually out physically in among the people that you're praying for, that you're trying to reach. And that could be, you know, a lot of folks that'll be your street, your neighborhood. Others it might be an area of town or whatever. But ask the Lord, Lord, show us what you're doing. Give us eyes to see where you're at work. And all kinds of amazing things can happen out of that. You might, you know, you might see a lady out doing her yard work, and the Lord could say, hey, why don't you all go offer to help her out next week or whatever. I mean, there's just, it could be an infinite number of possibilities, mm-hmm. but getting out together. And how do you do that? What does it mean to do a prayer walk? Well, it can look different ways, but sometimes if there's a lot of you, you could pair up in twos, and sort of go walking and just do conversational prayer, you know, as you're walking. So, you know, you might pray a sentence, and then your partner or your spouse, if that's who you're with, you know, as they're feeling led, they'll pray a sentence. And you can praise God, you can worship Him as you're walking and just talk with Him. And it'll be awkward if you've never done anything like that, but highly encourage you to do that, to prayer walk. But, you know, it's when you study some of the moves of God around the world, there's prayer is always a huge, huge, huge important part of that. I mean, it always, revival happens, it seems, when people all pray. And this can be a great way. It's springtime, summertime. It's a great time to be outside. Get outside of your house or wherever you're meeting and prayer walk. That's a great challenge that we want to give. And then get back together with everyone after you do it and discuss it. Hey, how did it go? And one thing you might find is that, you know, don't be surprised if something happens like this, that you all get back and, you know, of the people that prayer walked, the majority of people said, man, as I was praying, I just sensed that we ought to do something at this park that we all walked by. Mm-hmm. Or that lady, did you see her mowing? As I walked by her, I really felt strongly that I ought to do this. And someone else says, gosh, that's so crazy. I felt that same thing. I sensed in prayer too. I was praying that would be something that we ought to do as well. And I just kind of dismissed it. But now all of you have said that. Well, don't just be so quick to dismiss those things. That could be the Lord, as you pray, like maybe showing you something, giving you His eyes to see things and that maybe He's wanting you to see. So prayer walk, that would be another exercise I really want to challenge you to do in the next couple of weeks.
I was just thinking, as you were saying that, last year, Bonnie and I bought ourselves some kayaks, and we enjoy kayaking. There's a group of kayakers in Louisville, and that might be something, you know, your church can do, not kayaking per se, but an activity, you know, go out and join another person or another group in some kind of hobby, or, you know, you're in the skateboarding thing. That's your avenue into, you know, some new people. For other people, they might have to stretch themselves and do something like that. Horseback riding, hiking. There was a guy in our church that joined a hiking club, and every Saturday he'd go out hiking, and he would use the time to talk about the Lord with people. So yeah.
These are all places, you know, the harvest field. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, you know, and we are praying the Lord of the harvest to send workers into His harvest fields. And it's interesting because if you've listened to this podcast for any time at all, you've probably heard us say that, you know, it's we are just as Christians, and we, whether you're in house church or not, we all can so quickly move back to this place where we are in our minds, like, we expect the unbelieving world to leave their comfort zones and come join us in our places of comfort, whether that's our church or even our home, rather than always asking, how can we leave the places where we're comfortable and move into those places to join those that we're reaching out to in their comfort zones. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. He's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. And so we should be the ones that are willing to leave our places of comfort to go be amongst those where it can be quite uncomfortable, because we have the Holy Spirit to go with us always. And those that are those folks that maybe are not believers, that's something that, you know, it's silly almost that we expect that of them, to do things that we ourselves often are not willing to do.
Yeah.
So think about that and noodle and chew on it, or whatever you want to do with it. And
try something different.
Again, I want to challenge everybody to avoid becoming inward focused. It's not too soon to be thinking about that. And now is the time to be planning for how you're going to go, how new people are going to be sent out, even just vocalizing week to week that expectation that where this ends is with us leaving to help new people start new communities. And maybe we return, maybe we just leave for a short amount of time, maybe we don't have to leave at all if we've got enough time in our calendars to be a part of two groups at one time, but we're all preparing ourselves to help someone else start a simple church and to begin making disciples of Jesus. That's where this all goes, and we got to begin with the end in mind. Thanks for joining us. This has been Tom and Gavin on Keep It Simple, and thanks for plotting along with us on this journey. We'll be back in a couple weeks with a new episode, and we look forward to hearing from all of you all about how this is working out for you all. We'd love to hear from you. You can get a hold of us at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Thanks a lot.
All right, keep it simple, keep it outward. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.